Hey dog, got some AI for your ChatGPT? Look out, Guinness, we have a new world record. Hey dog, got some AI in your search? Wait, we did that already. Anyway, these stories and much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
This episode is presented by MSP GeekCon 2023, a conference for MSPs by MSPs. Occurring May 21st through the 23rd, 2023 in Orlando, Florida, this two-day event is built around the journey of technical growth from Tier 1 to Tier 3. Visit MSPGeekCon.com for more information.
Good morning and welcome to the April 21st episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Ray Rossini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, Tony?
Excellent, brother. Excellent. Audio is not in the green. It's not in the red. It's right in the yellow. It's in the perfect spot right now. Hi.
And the eyebrows.
How are you?
How are the eyebrows doing?
Fleek, run, fleek. You understand that I have to say it over and over and over just so I get it. For everyone who's not listening, because I believe that today is the 111th episode, but 110 episodes ago, I'm like, what is this fleek thing? What? And so I got taught a whole new, so now I think I'm up to like the 90s now. Like I got through the 80s, I'm in the 90s and all the cool stuff, all the cool kids. How are you doing?
I'm good. I was actually just thinking about you. Today's been a ridiculous day. We did MSP Dispatch special report. I did with Alex Farling and Dan Wensley, ScalePad and Lifecycle, Lifecycle Insect, now a ScalePad company, talking about the M&A, how it is from inside as a company's getting acquired and being acquired. And then I did a webinar with Carrie Richardson and Jennifer Bleem and a bunch of cybersecurity professionals. The reason I was thinking about you, though, was we were all giving away a bunch of things. Carrie was giving away a Flipper Zero. I'm giving away a Stream Deck. They were all stuff that I know that I've talked to you about where I know you would love it. Yes. And the one thing we realized is none of us know how to use a Flipper. So
that is really funny. Like, you're doing stuff. You haven't ordered all the cards from Amazon, the blank cards, and copied the cards. You can actually right? And in the pin ports, you can extend the range. I got it up to about, I got between 11 and 16 feet, depending. I can't figure out what's altering that. I'm such a geek. Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm so glad one of us is making use of it. I figure at MSP GeekCon, I'll just give it to Jason Slagle and be like, what do I do with this?
Did you just buy a whole bunch of them and just kind of give them out and saying, who does something evil with it? Let's find.
I bought two because one is none and two is one. Like I bought two, right? And then I gave you one because I had no idea what I was doing with it. But no, and talk about like some like other mind-bending news. Did you see the Elon Musk Starship mega rocket this morning?
Where is it? Where is it? I see a cloud.
I love you, bro. Like, you're the best hype man in the world. So Elon Musk sends a rocket up into space, right? Like they were going to do. So, you know, his grand plan, NASA wants to put people on the moon. Elon wants to put people on Mars, to live on Mars. So he built this rocket. He's built a series of these, but he built this giant Starship. I can't remember the name of it. It has 33 different super heavy rocket boosters. This thing is 400 feet tall. This thing is beyond massive. Okay. They call it a mega rocket. And so you can have an idea of like, you know, how much this thing must have cost. Right. And he's doing this in partnership with NASA. NASA wants to use him to get on the moon and whatever. And so he had said it had about a 50% chance of success, multi-million, probably billions of dollars for this rocket. And he's like, 50% chance. So it goes up and NASA tweets, congratulations. It was on YouTube live up in the air. And 2 minutes and 49 seconds in, when the heavy booster was supposed to separate, it went boom. Remember, these are autonomous vehicles, so no lives were lost. It was all okay. Besides the fact that it's several billion dollars of
billion money. With a flip of a coin, 50-50.
Yeah. He's like, I mean, if somebody said to you, I have a $100,000 investment and you have a 50% chance of it succeeding, would you spend that 100 grand? I don't think I would.
When that exploded, do you think he kind of went, oh man, hey, how's our Aflac insurance? Is that paid?
That's what would have been great. Like if the Aflac duck would have tweeted back at him, you know, Aflac.
You got Aflac.
But you know what I would bet $1 million on, sir? Today's news. Let's get into it.
Let's get into the news. Jumping straight into our first story from darkreading.com, how zero trust can protect systems against generative AI agents. As generative AI continues to advance, security experts are focusing on how to defend systems against malicious AI agents. Zero trust, a cybersecurity framework, is emerging as a potential solution to protect systems from such threats. Generative AI agents, with their ability to create convincing content and mimic human behavior, pose significant challenges to cybersecurity. These agents can potentially be weaponized to carry out sophisticated cyber attacks, making the need for robust defense mechanisms and measures crucial. The zero trust model, which revolves around the principle of never trust, always verify, offers a way to counteract malicious AI. In a zero trust framework, organizations do not implicitly trust any user or device within or outside of their network. Instead, they require continuous authentication and validation before granting access to resources. This approach ensures that even if an AI agent infiltrates a network, it's unable to move laterally and compromise critical systems. Implementing a zero trust model involves several components, including micro-segmentation, identity and access management, multi-factor authentication, MFA, which we talk about all the time, real-time monitoring and analytics. And by adopting a zero trust framework, organizations can safeguard their systems against a growing threat of generative AI agents. Ray, here's all I'm hearing. We need to create Terminator bots to fight Terminator bots. This is all I mean. Talk to me.
I mean, I don't hate it. At some point they're going to turn around on us.
No. When has that ever happened? That's never happened. No. There's no movies about that.
It's not like we didn't see this in the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s and the 2010s. And like, go back to Terminator, or do you want HAL 2000 or HAL whatever? And you have iRobot. This doesn't work out. Thank you, HAL 9000. Thank you, Matt Fox. This doesn't work out for us. Skynet is coming. Like, all I'm hoping is we'll be on Mars. That's all.
I just don't understand. You mean you've got what are the different versions of the Terminator hunter killers, and then the T-1000, and then you have all the different types of Terminator. We are literally creating these bots right now to fight each other, but the one thing that is consistent is the human element. The ability to say, hey, how do we know each other? Which, by the way, I ask all the time. If anybody texts me, if anybody asks me how do we know each other? You know, and somebody's asked me that, and true story, he says, you know, blah, blah, blah. I said, hey, can you send this to me? He goes, how do we know each other? Because he learned that from me. And I said, best kisser you've ever met. He says, well, now I know it's you, which pretty much means that AI is now going to use that.
Yeah. There you go. I mean, no, and I'm with you. Like, and the one thing that gives me solace is Robert Patrick, the actor that played the T-1000 in T2.
Yes.
T2, yes. T3. I think it was T2. So when he was, this is a nice little Easter egg. I love movie backstories. He learned to run he conditioned himself so he wouldn't be out of breath when he was running, and he conditioned himself to not blink during any of the scenes. He only blinks in exactly one scene in the entire movie because robots don't blink. And so when he's running, you never see him out of shape, but he got so fast, he was keeping up with the motorcycle when he was chasing it out of the parking garage.
Yeah, the parking garage and the arcade, yes, in the mall.
Where he's doing this, and he practiced. He was so good. So I'm thinking, if Robert Patrick can do it and fool the fool people, we can do it too to fool the robots. Maybe? I don't know.
This is terrifying. I just to be blunt, I mean, there's so much zero trust out there and zero trust frameworks and the concept of, you know, was it always trust, never verify? Oh, no, it's probably the opposite of that. never trust or always trust, always verify. No one even knows.
I feel like somebody's from MSP Dispatch audience is going to come back and say, Tony said, always trust, never verify. Never verify.
Hashtag sarcasm.
Somewhere Reagan is rolling around in his grave right now.
Oh, that was a really good reference. But I am fascinated with all this framework that we are going to start implementing human MFA policies on top of the very tools that we use to kind of automate the expediency of the validation. I don't know. I'm really interested to hear from the MSPs if they already have something in place, because it sounds like that's an eventuality.
You know who they should follow? Connor Swam from Finn Security. He loves talking about human vulnerability training. He's been on the show. I'll point shows here somewhere. But I think it's pretty cool. So go check him out. And we'll put a link to the show in the show notes for sure.
Well, I was just going to say, if you don't get validated, the one thing that is just terrifying to everyone is ransomware. Like, you get a ransomware attack, that'd be the worst ever, ever. I'm just so glad it never happens. Right, Ray?
What happened was but you know what, we're breaking records, that's all I'm saying. Our second top story at security, March 2023 broke ransomware attack records with 459 incidents, written by Bill Tulis for Bleeping Computer. According to cybersecurity analysts, March 2023 witnessed a historic high of 459 ransomware attacks, indicating a significant increase of 91% from the previous month and 62% from March 2022. The massive surge was attributed to the exploitation of CVE-2023-0669, a zero-day vulnerability found in Fortra's Go Anywhere MFT secure file transfer tool by the CLOP ransomware gang. The industrial sector was the most targeted sector, with 147 ransomware attacks, accounting for 32% of the recorded attacks, followed by consumer cyclicals, technology, healthcare, basic materials, financials, and educational services. It's worth noting that although these sectors may have been the most frequently attacked, it's important to recognize that the ransomware attacks are typically not targeted, but opportunistic. CLOP, Lockbit, and Royal were the most active ransomware groups and primarily targeted the industrials and technology sectors. In addition, North America, 221 attacks, was the most affected region, followed by Europe, 126 attacks, and Asia, 59 attacks. The considerable increase in activity highlights the significance of timely application of security updates and implementation of additional security measures to prevent zero-day attacks. Tony, do we scream that the sky is falling? Do we just acquiesce and give Microsoft, let them do automatic updates? What do we do here? What do we do here?
We cheer the fact that USA, USA, 221, 221.
We the bestest.
We the bestest ever. Oh my goodness. So, okay. We talk about on the show ransomware attacks. We talk about firmware updates that are required. Please, please, please. If anyone is listening to the show right now, please tell me that you've updated your Chrome browser. That includes Brave, that includes Vivaldi, that includes the Chrome itself, the browser itself, a Chromium-based browser. Please tell me you've updated it, because there is serious, serious stuff out there right now. And we covered that on the last show. That being said, we talk about this all the time. We talk about this all the time. I am terrified about what's happening. I have so many versions of my backup. I burn to DVDs or in Blu-rays, and I set them aside. I know. Hold on. And then I put them in a little Faraday cage. A Faraday cage like this.
No. I used to have stacks of like CDRs, and I got rid of them, and DVDRs. I don't have a writer anymore. Like, but no, I get you. Go ahead. Continue, please.
I'm just paranoid. I have multiple NASs with air gaps in them that turn on just for the backup and then shut back off. Because for a variety of reasons, specifically because of ransomware. Because ransomware, I can promise you, mark my words, if this is done correctly, something that is going to be a ransomware attack that you see today was not in there yesterday. It's been in there for a while. And if they do it correctly, it will be in there for 1 or 2 years. Okay. That's what terrifies me. So all those pictures of you and the kids, all the receipts that you have that'll validate the purchase of X that you need for your warranties or service maintenance, whatever it may be, all your tax information, maybe your employment data, maybe your banking information, maybe the critical IP, the stuff that you've been working on, this amazing invention for years, poof, it's gone. And it's from years ago. So that's why I keep things in incremental backups over years in disparate locations. But this is the type of stuff that terrifies me. Sorry to babble on and on about that, Ray. Tell me your paranoia.
You're making it worse. No, like, it's bad enough that this stuff keeps going on, but now you're making me feel bad that I don't have CDRs and DVDRs in my backups. Like, you're making it worse. No, and I will say one thing that's good. If you go to MSP GeekCon 2023, which we'll both be at, MSP GeekCon May 21st through 23rd, wherever that banner is going to show, there's a whole track of Secure, Defend, Recover talking about this exact stuff. So if you want to talk to your peers, if you want to learn what the best practices are, if you want to vent and have some drinks, because we've all been through the... Sorry, Phil. Flipper. So, you know, we've all been through it. Go do it at MSP GeekCon. We'll all be there. Yeah, that's the best I can say, but it's okay. Tons of ransomware, not a big deal. AI is going to take over with Skynet. Fine. But at least we're done with our AI stories for today, right? Like, no more AI is going to like take over our life.
Is this just a game of hot potato? You're just feeling it burn straight from CNET.com. Google is reportedly working on an AI-powered search engine. From CNET, Google is reportedly working on a new AI-powered search engine that will improve accuracy and relevance of its search results, potentially revolutionizing the way that users find and consume information online. The development aims to leverage the latest advancements in artificial intelligence and machine learning to enhance the overall search experience. The AI-driven search engine will be designed to better understand user intent and provide a more contextual, relevant search result, addressing common frustrations with the current search engine technology. By integrating advanced language models, Google plans to deliver a richer and more personalized search result. This development highlights Google's continued commitment to innovation and reinforces the company's position as a dominant player in the search market. If successful, the AI-powered search engine could transform how users interact with the internet, making it easier to find relevant information quickly and efficiently. While the exact timeline for the launch of this new search engine is unknown, it is expected that Google will continue to refine the technology and invest in AI research to stay in the forefront of the rapidly evolving search industry. As AI technology advances, search engines like Google's new offering could play an increasingly important role in shaping the future of the internet and the way people access information. Ray, here is my question for you as bluntly as possible. Google initially completely transformed the way we looked at the internet because now everything was accessible and we could recall information on the fly. Not knowing how to use Google at the time was, now is a death knell. But at the time, if you knew how to use Google, it was amazing. My question is this: what is next?
I don't know. I just don't want to get taken over. I'm too old to be a slave to some robot somewhere, man. I just, you know, it's not going to work out well for me. I'm just saying. No, I mean, we knew this was going to happen. Google has Bard, so this is a weird one too. Remember, we covered that in one of these episodes, and Phil probably talked about it in depth in AI Roundup every week, 15 minutes, catching up on AI. But we knew that AI was going to get integrated more and more and more into our everyday tools. Let's be honest. The 2024 or 2025 series of luxury cars will probably have AI built in somehow. It's going to happen. And if I can stop paying for OnStar and I can go to my AI, please make me dinner reservations for four at Shula's tonight at 7. Cool. I'm all for it. 100% all for it. Now, you know, when does US robotics start operations again? Whatchamacallit. Now, if we're going to talk AI in the sense of like Boston Dynamics or those terrifying dogs that go upstairs and open doors, and they're basically metal velociraptors, let's be honest. That I'm not down for. So AI in search engines absolutely makes sense. I'm trying to qualify in the sense of we've already had Zuckerberg and Musk and Sergey and I forget his partner's name. I'm sorry. But Alphabet's already been in front of Congress talking about how the algorithms can shape society depending on how it presents information, how it surfaces, whether it becomes an echo chamber or giving you diverse thoughts, you know, and opinions. So when we have AI, and those algorithms are created by humans, they're created by people that can, good, bad, or otherwise, they were intentional actions that created these things. Now, when you bring AI into this, where you can no longer account for why did the AI do this, that becomes a bigger quagmire. Then it's, why did I search for a garden hoe and suddenly I have tractors and kittens coming up in my search? AI will absolutely have a reason why it's doing that, but who's going to go in front of Congress and answer for it?
Right? I was going in such a different direction when you said garden hoe. But anyway, no, I totally agree.
I saw you pull it back.
But here's my question. If Elon Musk would have had AI or ChatGPT, do you think it would have prevented the explosion?
I think if Congress would have had ChatGPT and used ChatGPT for the questions, when they interviewed the TikTok CEO, it would have gone better. Instead of, does my TikTok connect to my Wi-Fi? That's all I'm saying. It can make for more intelligent thoughts. That's all I'm saying. You know what's also intelligent thoughts? Our notables. Let's do some of that.
Let's do some notables.
In my first notable mention, Microsoft Defender update causes Windows hardware stack protection mess, written by Lawrence Abrams for Bleeping Computer. Windows 11 users can no longer enable local security authority protection, LSA, in the core isolation settings after a recent Microsoft Defender update. Instead, a new feature called Kernel Mode Hardware Enforced Stack Protection has been introduced to prevent ROP-based attacks. However, not all drives are compatible with this feature and requires Intel Tiger Lake CPUs or AMD Zen 3 CPUs and later. Users are having trouble enabling the new security feature because notifications say it's disabled due to conflicting drivers, but the list is empty. Also, some anti-cheat drivers can cause crashes or prevent games from running even when the feature is enabled. Microsoft has not provided any notice about the replacement of security features, nor the addition of kernel mode hardware enforced stack protection, other than a brief description in Windows Security and some documentation. In my second notable mention, Microsoft SQL servers hacked to deploy Trigona ransomware, written by Sergio Gatlan for Bleeping Computer. According to South Korea-based cybersecurity firm OnLab, hackers are using brute force or dictionary attacks to breach insecure Microsoft SQL servers on the internet. They use CLR shell malware to deploy Trigona ransomware, encrypting all files on the server. Trigona also disables system recovery and deletes any Windows volume shadow copies before encrypting and deploying ransom notes. The ransomware was discovered in October 2022, demands Monero payments, and steals sensitive documents, but leaves specific folders untouched. The game behind Trigona has been linked to multiple attacks and submitted 190 samples to ID Ransomware this year. And in our rare third notable mention, this is coming from Huntress Labs, posted to RMSP just a few minutes before recording. A critical vulnerability in the Papercut application server, noted as CVE-2023-27350 and CVE-2023-27351. The Huntress team is currently tracking two vulnerabilities in the Papercut application server, which are being exploited in the wild. The vulnerabilities can allow attackers to bypass authentication and also lead to remote code execution as system on affected server versions. Huntress has already seen active exploitation of this vulnerability, and they are tracking it further updates to follow. We will leave the Reddit thread in the show notes so you can follow the latest updates.
And in my first notable mention from TheVerge.com, Elon Musk is threatening to sue Microsoft. Microsoft's advertising platform announced that it would stop supporting Twitter, reportedly due to Twitter's changes requiring payment to access its API. And apparently, Elon Musk does not like that. Elon Musk has threatened to file a lawsuit against Microsoft over its AI technology, accusing the tech giant of stealing SpaceX's intellectual property. The dispute began when Microsoft allegedly reversed engineered SpaceX's AI software and incorporated it in their own products. Musk's claim has led to a heated exchange on social media between Musk and Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella. In response to the accusations, Nadella has denied any wrongdoing and assured that Microsoft has developed its AI independently. As tensions escalate, industry experts speculate whether the conflict will lead to a high-profile legal battle between the two tech giants. The lawsuit, if it proceeds, could potentially set a precedent for future disputes concerning AI technology and intellectual property rights. And in my not-so-rare second notable mention, from bleepingcomputer.com, Google patches another actively exploited Chrome zero-day problem. Google has patched a zero-day vulnerability, CVE-2023-1608, that was actively exploited in the wild. The security flaw, found in Chrome's V8 JavaScript engine, was categorized as a high-severity, use-after-free issue. Users are urged to update their browsers to version 101.0.4950.71, which contains the fix, to protect themselves from potential attacks.
Happy Friday, folks. I'm Phil Buck, and for today's AI Roundup, although we've heard pleas from Elon Musk and Steve Wozniak to slow down the training on generative AI, the latest recipe does not involve a slow cooker or a crock pot, but instead seems more like we're throwing gas on the fire. In an article from TheVerge.com, Stability AI has released a suite of open source large language models called StableLM, now available for developers on GitHub. Like ChatGPT, StableLM efficiently generates text and code using a larger version of the PyL dataset, which includes sources like Wikipedia, Stack Exchange, and PubMed. StableLM models currently have between 3 billion and 7 billion parameters, with 15 to 65 billion parameter models expected later. This release builds on Stability AI's mission to make AI tools more accessible, as demonstrated with its Stable Diffusion text-to-image AI. A demo of StableLM's fine-tuned chat model can be tested on Hugging Face, and if you try it out, let us know what you think in the MMN Discord. And with yet another LLM on the market, I'm wondering how long until we get a Battle Royale deathmatch to see which AI is the strongest one to rule them all. And that's it for today's AI Roundup. I'm Phil Buck. Now back to Ray and Tony in the studio.
In our feedback from the YouTubes, Harry Torres says, my first job in IT was Verizon's internal help desk as a contractor back in 2002. Congrats, Harry. You're both old and you work for Verizon. No, man, I'm there with you. Congratulations, dude.
There are plenty of amazing upcoming events taking place across the community, so let's see what's happening this week. April 23rd through the 25th, an in-person event, Midsize Enterprise Services in Orlando, Florida. And April 24th through the 27th, another in-person event, RSA Conference in San Francisco, California. Also running the 24th through the 27th, another in-person event, Kaseya's Connect IT Global in Las Vegas, Nevada. And coming from the MSP Media Network this week, we have, in case you missed it, AI Roundup Episode 7, Can't Feel My Face When I'm Eating AI Corn Dogs. On April 26th at 1 p.m. Eastern, MSP Dispatch with a special report, Mergers and Acquisitions, an Employee's Insider Perspective. And as always on Tuesdays and Fridays at 10 a.m. Eastern, MSP Dispatch presented by the MSP Media Network.
So how'd you like today's show? If you like it, hit the thumbs up button. If you didn't, go ahead and hit it three times. If you felt it went up like a rocket, even better. And if you felt we bombed like a rocket, if you want to hear more, go ahead and hit the subscribe button on YouTube or your favorite podcatcher. Did you know we also have a Discord where we post stories all week? You can propose your own stories and even vote on which ones we'll cover. As my friend Rich Bakey says, make sure to tell a friend. Also, be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV so you can find out when we do the live special reports. Have any questions? Email news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode, or leave us a voicemail, 833-MSP-Network. Tony, AI is taking over our jobs, but not yet. We got at least one more episode where it's you and me, brother.
Hey, listen, I'm going to know how to survive because of my Flipper Zero. You, in the most flipperish, dolphin-y kind of way, are
Nope, I got my action cam. So here's my thing. I think if I have enough like technology products around me, they'll just assume in. I'm a robot. I'm one of them. And Tony, in possibly the worst, episode of me reaching behind to show you something.
Let me pull up Amazon now.
This is my project cart of all the stuff I'm working on. So...
What is that, an oscilloscope? Are you there, dead bodies attached to that? You're like, let me bring you back to life. It's alive. It's alive.
If people only knew what happens off camera in this office.
Tesla glow spheres all over the place. And oh my
gosh. Or maybe I am the AI. You know what? Let's talk about it on Discord until the next episode. But for now, ladies and gentlemen, take care of yourselves and each other.
Be safe, everyone.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
This development highlights Google's continued commitments to... It's going so well, so well. Here we go.
Not my bloopers.
Hey, I was doing so good.
Two things. One... Are we going to get started on the episode soon? And two, are you guys thirsty?
You like that?
Oh, so thirsty.
Meaty. Okay. As AI technology advances, search engines like Google now offering as a new. I need glasses. One more time. As AI, two more times. As AI, third time's a charm. Here we're doing this. You guys are just laughing. I can see
you. You know what? ChatGPT wouldn't have this problem.
Exactly. Here we go.
That's how you know. That's how you know Tony's not a robot. There you go. You're welcome. Guys.
Oh man, that new update gives me that character to perceive flaws in humanity. Here we go. As AI technology advances, search engines like Google's new offering could play an increased important fourth time is going to happen, I promise you.
Again. They use CLR shell malware to deploy Trigona ransomware, encrypting all files on the pull to Tony. Damn it. All right.